looking at the fruit of the Spirit that God produces in us. This is a production of God's grace in us. When God took the Gentiles out of the Gentiles in Galatia out of their sin and brought them into Christ, with that comes the Spirit that God promised his disciples. And the Spirit transforms us from impatient people to patient people. We live by God's grace. Okay, now we're going to look at this text. Now, Paul has been hammering that it is not by works of the law that one's justified, but it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He's been hammering this home. It's not faith plus anything else. It's merely believing and resting in Jesus. Amen? That's the way it is. So, we've got to believe that. If we don't believe that, there's some real nasty, nasty, rotten fruit that can come from our lives. If we're not following Jesus, we can have real nastiness. And so if we're trusting in Jesus, though, there's going to be this wellspring, this great harvest within our lives. We're going to see it. And that's how the world's going to know Jesus. They're going to see the love, the joy, peace, and the patience we have along with one another. The church is this visible manifestation of God's grace on this earth, this kingdom. And so we're going to show forth that. This is a very important message today. We have the opportunity to be so countercultural, so different, that people would look at us like, you're either an alien or you're a Christian. I have no idea what you are, but you're not like me, and I want something like that. Okay, so check it out. We're going to read this. We're going to read the whole section in Galatians. Then we're going to have a supplemental text. I'm going to read that following Galatians 5. It's in Matthew 18. It's a parable that Jesus told, which brings forth what it is to be patient. So look at this together. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And here's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Then we have Peter in Matthew 18. Comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to Peter, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, equivalent of millions of dollars. And since this man could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So just $5 or $6, right? Not much. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant, fell down and pleaded with him, have patience on me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Well, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me for patience. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that this morning we would internalize this truth, that you would speak to us. Spirit, lead us. Help us to understand these things. Write these eternal truths in our hearts. Take us from being impatient to being full of patience, full of the joy and love and peace and the fruit that comes with walking in your Spirit. And we'll give you glory now and forevermore. Amen. All right, so this is an urgent message on patience. When you look at a long text before you, either on your Bibles or on the internet, there's this phrase we sometimes use called TLDR, right? Has anyone ever used this? Too long, didn't read, right? Too long, didn't read. We have little patience for things that are going to waste our time. So we are obsessed with being efficient with our time. We don't want to read things. If you've ever been on the road and felt like, hey, that guy didn't use his turn signal. That guy is slowing down in front of me. He doesn't know what he's doing. How many times when you're driving have you been sitting there in a light and the guy in front of you is on their phone, on his phone or her phone, and they're not paying attention, and you kind of wait for a few seconds, and you're like, honk. You know, like, have you ever done that? You ever been there? Maybe you've been the guy in front and been honked at. When you get honked at, how do you feel? You start wanting to honk back. Honk. You know, you just feel it's like this rage within you. Something about honking really fires us up. And anybody who's not doing it the way we want to, we need to be honking at them. Well, if you've ever felt that way, you're in bad company. We're all there. We're all in that company together. Have you ever said, that's ridiculous? You know, or if you've ever been in a restaurant and it's taking forever, you're like, what are they killing the cow in there? What are they doing? What are they? They're trying to kill the cow. They're taking forever. You know, if you've ever been mad and your husband or wife or roommate or whoever says, calm down, you're like, don't tell me to calm down. You get impatient and you just start wearing that rage. You don't have the patience. Yep. That's how it feels. Now, these guys who in the days when Jesus was walking the earth, they had never seen anything like he's talking about. There's this Greek word for anger named, it's really called thumos. It's called anger. It's translated anger or wrath. And then this idea of oxu thumos is this outburst of anger. Like, this is sort of the way we respond in traffic. So there's these Greek philosophers called Stoics, and this would be a regular thing. They would be, you know, well-known people in their day. They viewed patience as virtue, and sort of this becoming passive and letting whatever may happen will happen. And they're resigning themselves to just being reduced to waiting. It's a reduction. That's what that is. Now, the rabbis saw that resignation. They had read the Old Testament. You know what they saw? They saw, hey, it's more than just waiting and resigning yourself to what will be. It's forgiveness. Patience is forgiveness. And so the rabbis had this plan of, okay, if somebody sins against you, you ought to forgive them four times. So they had this, you know, you can check the box. Four times you got to forgive somebody, but the fifth time you can outburst rage on them. You can go after them, you know. But so you got that fourth time. Well, Jesus is asked this question by Peter of how many times you forgive somebody. He says seven times, and that's because they had just talked about a discipline case where, you know, somebody's sinning, and then you go to him, you ask him to repent, and there's a threefold structure there. He says, well, seven times then? We're going beyond them. Jesus says, no, you have no idea. Seven times 70. So rather than it being limited or passive, the macro thumos, or the patience, the word there, is unlimited and active. Patience is a very active attribute of God. And it's an unending attribute for us. As God's really shows a lot of patience. If you've read the Old Testament, you might think, man, God's out there dealing out law and judgment all over the place. Well, no, he's not actually. If you look at it, there's a great well-known case in Exodus 33 through 34, where Moses is talking to God up on the mountain, and people are like, this is taking forever. Aaron, why don't you make us a God to worship? And they fashion a golden idol, and they start worshiping and bowing down to that idol. And it's all out of impatience, right? And so then God hears about this and says, Moses, you know, I'm going to kill him. Okay, this is not okay. I've told him not to do this, and he's going to kill him. Well, Moses prays, and then God, slow to anger, abounding in compassion and kindness, forgives them. God's patient. Numbers 14. They're wandering through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. God has set them free now. And then they say, well, this is just taking forever. Let's just get a king who's going to lead us back to Egypt so we can go back in slavery. Because this is taking forever and we'll have good food to eat there. And they just like totally are impatient and wanting, waving their fist at God. We need a better king than God because he's not getting it done. This is taking forever. So then they start to go back. God hears this. What's he do? He forgives them. He bears with these people over and over and over and over again, forgiving them of their impatience. God is long-suffering, waiting on hard-necked people. Nahum 1:3, an oracle of judgment on Nineveh, talks about how the people are hard or stiff-necked. Now, what does it mean if your neck is hard? It means you can't move it. You know, it's like stiff. And so you won't bow. You won't bow to God. These people won't bow to him. They won't worship him. They won't follow him. They're doing all the wrong things. But God's dealing with them kindly, graciously, mercifully, and forgiving them. Makrothumos, patience. He shows patience. Patience is a foreign concept to people. It's not just resignation. It's not just ticking off, counting down how many times I need to forgive them. God is patience. God is love. Love is patience. God is patience. You can't know patience without knowing who God is. So the standard of what patience is much greater. And Jesus embodies that. They showed that Peter asked the question of forgiveness because he saw Jesus. He's seen God's patience in flesh as Jesus bared with him. Every time Peter gets it wrong, every time Peter's impulsive, Jesus bore with him. It's not limited, it's not passive, but it's limitless, and it's active to be engaging in patience. You have to go to people and engage them and graciously, kindly show patience and compassion. So God's promise is not just to rescue people from hell for their sins. No, God has much more plan for you and his patient plan for you, his process that he's working you through. He's going to turn you from this impatient, ungrateful person to a patient, grateful person. He has a wonderful plan for his believers. This is not optional. Now, patience, we talked about, is extraordinary. It's not a worldly virtue, but it is not optional. And it must be, it's exceptional, extraordinary, it's normal in our lives as Christians. We're believers in him. This is normal for us. This is the new normal. Okay, so let's look at it. Everyone knows here, you maybe have seen this story, if you've read the Bible before that we just read, the unmerciful servant parable. You'll note in there that everyone knew this king, this master, this ruler. He was rich. He lived in a big house. Everyone knew him. Okay, he's the man. He owns everything. Well, this man owes him money. And so it's time to pay the debts. He can't pay them. He's going to throw him in jail, and he's going to have to work off those debts. Well, what does he do? In verse 26, he falls down on his face and pleads for patience. Be patient with me. And he is. He shows mercy. He forgives him. Why would God need to show patience to us? Why? What is the why here? Why does God have to benefit from showing patience to people like us who are really in this debt we can't pay off? Like, you're talking millions and millions of dollars. This guy had no ability to get there. Why would he do such a thing? Well, you know what? People would hear about this man, this king. God's patience with us shows forth his glory in a way that just creation itself and general revelation can't show forth his glory. We see the mercy and the grace of God exhibited in his patience and abiding with us. That's the only, you can't see that in nature. Nature, it's a dog-eat-dog world, right? Only in special revelation, only in the scriptures, only in Jesus' work for us do you see this angle of the beauty of diamond, the beauty, the beautiful, wonderful glory of God and who He is. The glory of God shows up in His patience. So you would think that people would see this and say, that king is amazing. And that's exactly what they did, except the person who received the mercy in the story. This guy quickly forgot it. He had amnesia, apparently. He was forgiven this millions and millions of dollar debt, and then he goes and tries to exact some piddly debt from another servant, 100 denarii versus 10,000 talents. And you know what? People saw that, saw how ruthless and merciless he was and impatient. And what'd they do? They went and told the king about it. And the king took him and threw him in jail, threw him in prison. He called him wicked. He says, if you've experienced such a patient response, a forgiveness of your debts, and you want to go out and be unforgiving towards other people, it's as if you've never even known what redemption. How can you be redeemed of great debts like that and not be gracious and patient with people? It's absurd. It's an absurd story to communicate that point. We are forgiving, patient people with others because of who is patient with us, the patience we receive, right? God's plan for you is for impatient people like us to be patient. He has a plan for you. This is from the beginning of creation. He's known you, and He's ordained all these things going to pass, and Jesus to go and bear your judgment, and the Spirit to be working your life so you can become patient and reflect His glory. This is His plan for you. If you've experienced mercy like that, people are going to ask you for patience, and you're going to be kind. You're going to be forgiving. You're going to be merciful to them. That is the plan, right? It's absurd to not be that way. You know, if you've never received His mercy, if you're still feeling like you got to prove yourself, you're working your way to heaven, what's your life going to look like? If you're in Galatians 5, flip back a few verses to 19, and you see what the rotten fruit of the flesh is: fits of anger, jealousy, rivalries. You see it in here: envying one another, being conceited, provoking one another. In verse 26, you got the rotten fruit of fits of anger versus the Spirit's fruit of patience. You got, in one sense, you got no freedom, and you can't give freedom to other people because you don't have any. In one sense, you got max freedom, and you can be patient and kind because someone's already paid your debts. Someone's forgiven you. So how do we cultivate patience? Well, the answer is faith. That's how it comes. Our heart is quick to rage. But if we look to the Gospels, if we look to what the Bible tells about us, we can become like God. We can become like Him. Now, here's what patience is. It's slow to anger, right? So we go from being like a microwave to a slow cooker, to a crock pot, if you think about that. You know, it's not as if we don't ever get mad. Now, it's not as if God doesn't ever wrath on us or rage on us. It's coming. Patience means it's delayed. It's a slow cooker. The wrath is still to come. God's not just a big softy who just like, oh, I forgot about that wrath. No, their wrath is, God's just. It's still there. Now, this summer, my family and I went with a trip with my brother and his family. And, you know, my brother and I have had this, we have a history. You know, 30-some-odd years of history. And I tell you what, it all kind of spilled over. You know, I found myself in a restaurant sitting across the table from my brother. It's a long story. But I took a menu and threw it in his face and in rage at him. And we got up and we almost came to blows in a restaurant. You talk about embarrassing. You know, you talk about like just almost tragic. You know, like my grandmother's sitting there, like, this is my grandmother. My grandmother, 88 years old, looking at her grandsons, especially this one, and thinking, what's got into him? Slow cooking. I had rage built up and it just bubbled out. It came out into the dinner table. That's what happened. And I was wrong, absolutely wrong. The patience had run out. Patience had run out. We are all dangerous. We all have a danger. When we are not walking by the Spirit, walking by faith, we're dangerous. We have flesh within us. We have this inner conflict. We can lash out. You know, when my wife is probably the most patient woman I've ever met. You know, when she's in the kitchen preparing dinner or working on, you know, cleaning the kitchen or doing whatever she's doing, I have a tendency to be like, oh yeah, let's hug, you know, or like I want to interrupt her, you know. Has anyone ever done that to your wife? Like, you just want to like interrupt her when she's doing her thing. And she tells me over and over again, Justin, it's not the time, not the time, not the time, not the time. I mean, we're talking like thousands of times she's told me this, and I still get it wrong every time. I do the exact wrong thing every single time. And she has not abandoned me yet, okay? This is the thing. So, you know, I bubble over with anger. She bubbles over with anger and rage and lack of forgiveness sometimes. But the good news is, with God, we failed big time. And there is just wrath for us for every time we've been impatient, every time we've received redemption, but we've went out and tried to demand all kinds of flesh from whoever. The guy on the street, our brother, our wife or husband, anybody. We've got real issues that we have to deal with. Real sin. But the good news is, it was all on Jesus. Jesus took all of my impatience, all of my overflowing anger and wrath, unjustifiable as it is, and died for that. And when God looks at me through faith, through my faith, he sees Jesus, his perfect righteous son in my place. And I can preach that to myself every day, because I have to, because I forget it every single day. I forget that's how I relate to God, not by my law keeping, not by keeping the rules. As Martin Luther says, every day is a beginning. We're going back to the cross. We're going back to the start and re-relating to God in those manners. When we confess our sins together with the church, there's so much beauty in that. We get to sit silently in a world that's full of distractions, full of moving parts, full of text messages, full of emails, full of appointments, responsibilities, for that brief moment, and just lay out particular ways we've sinned against God and receive his forgiveness and realize, hey, he does forgive me. And that, doesn't that bring you joy to think about all the things you've done and here he is? It's Jesus is enough. It's sufficient. He's been patient with me in that way. And so we have to preach the gospel to ourselves, because we get gospel amnesia every single day. We have to go back and read the scriptures patiently. Patiently. And so this has implications. We have to be active in this, realizing it's God working in us, but we have to be active in it. We have to work out our salvation. We have to work out God's patience in us. It takes reflection, it takes meditation, it takes filling our hearts with his truth, through the scripture, praying to him, walking alongside our brothers and sisters in the faith. There's a lot of work involved in this, but thankfully it's by God's grace that we learn patience. We're not all alone in this. It's not like, hey, here's a plan to go be patient. No. The Bible's about the man of patience, the God-man of patience, not the plan of patience for you. Go and learn how to do this on your own. No, it's Jesus is at work in us. We're not performers. And then God's honking at us, like saying, hey, get it together. You know, I mean, like, we're not honking at others. I mean, like, so our hearts, when our hearts are honking at other people, or we're raging against other people, we've got the opportunity to reflect and say, hey, we haven't received God's promises in vain here. We're going to turn from that rage and move towards impatience, because God's been patient with me. He's brought about the extraordinary fruit of the Spirit in my life. And that's a beautiful thing. If you look at how patient God is and how patient we are, we're impatient. Look at 2 Peter, just one example. 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, God's not slow, as some count slowness, but he's patient, not willing that any should perish, but to come to repentance. He wants all of his people to come to repentance. Now, in context, why is he saying God's slow? Because people are saying, Jesus is never going to return again. You're fools for believing this thing. Jesus is never going to come back. And we think, well, man, when is that going to happen? You know, when we're praying for things, sometimes God's got a lot on his plate to bring about to get to that, to the answer of that. He's moving, but he's not slow, as some count slowness. He's moving it somewhere. It's going somewhere. And we can trust that because he's patient with us. He's patient with us. When we are impatient, we're seeing the self-absorption that we have. We've arrived, and everyone else is needs to come up to our level. But the good news is that God is patient with us, and we need to remember that. The other good news is change is coming, and it's in process in my life. I'm dying to my sin and living to Jesus. And the good news also is that Jesus is abiding in me, and so, therefore, I'm not in this futile death spiral going down the toilet. You know, I'm moving towards glory. I am being renewed. You can believe that. This is what the Bible tells you, that the fruit of the Spirit is at work in you. Now, if you don't see fruit of the Spirit in your life, don't presume that you are a believer. Okay? If you don't see this, he's saying, that's what he wants to warn us against. If we don't see this, and we feel comfortable saying, oh, I'm just not going to be patient. I can't be patient. I'm not going to do it. We need to be worried. But if you don't see this, you're like, hey, I need to be more patient. It breaks my heart that I can't be more patient, because God's been so patient with me. If you can say that in your heart, you ought to take a lot of solace in that. Feel a lot of peace in that, because that means the Spirit's at work in you. Glory to God in that, because he is bringing you sanctification. If you don't have that struggle, we all have the struggle if we're in Christ. If you don't have that struggle, don't keep trying to be more patient, but go to the one who's patient. Okay? Go to the one, Jesus Christ, who is patient.